First of all, I want to say something very practical. It's 4 minutes after 11. I'm feeling no pressure to hurry. So I hope you don't either. I hope that the time we're going to spend together in communion, you're not distracted by that because we're running a little bit over time. Because I'll just warn you, I'm not feeling any pressure at all. As Rick's talking about prayer, one thing that prayer is a measure of our dependence on God. If we don't need God, if we know how to do that, then we don't need to pray. But if we recognize our dependence on the Lord, then that's going to drive us to prayer, just what Rick was talking about. Well, communion is a demonstration, a display of our absolute dependence on the Lord. And so I feel like this fits. For when I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And then Paul adds, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we're very familiar with the idea that communion is a remembering and it's a proclaiming. We're remembering Jesus' death, and we're talking about Jesus' death. And that's a good thing because that gives us hope. We celebrate communion, and as a result, that builds our hope. But I want to take a little different look this morning as we think about Jesus' death and remembering and talking about his death and how that relates to our hope. I'm going to ask you to do something very difficult. It's difficult for me. I want you to think about someone that you have loved dearly who has died. And I want you to think about what is it like to remember that, to remember their death, and what's it like to talk about their death. If they died in the Lord, if they're Christians, then we have hope that they're with the Lord in heaven. So we do have that hope. But as we grieve, as we lament a person's death, as we think about it and remember it and talk about it to others, that lamenting gives depth to our hope. We all know people who have died that we didn't know very well, that were Christians, and we have hope for them. We believe that they're in heaven. But there's not a lot of depth to that hope. I'm glad they're in heaven, but it doesn't do a lot for my perspective on hope. But when I think about Donna's brother, the grief and the lament makes my hope so much more deep. I think as we see lament, that helps us to see depth in our hope. And I think that's really important. Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about cheap grace. Grace that, yes, I'm glad I'm forgiven of my sin, without really taking sin very seriously, without really giving a lot of thought to what that means and the depth of what grace is. I think we have an equal danger of cheap hope. Of hope that is just, yes, I'm going to heaven and I'm really glad, but there's not a lot of depth there. I think we need lament to add depth to our hope. Just like we need to understand our sin to add depth to our understanding of grace so we don't get sucked into cheap grace. We need lament. We need to recognize a number of things. We need to recognize my sin is what required this. My sin is what Jesus went to the cross for. We need to lament that even after I become a Christian, there's still ugliness in me that is awful, that I can't do anything about with on my own. I lament what my inner world, what my inner person is like, that requires the cross, that requires Jesus to work. I lament that my actions cause pain to other people. And I think one of the things I lament too is, even on my good days, even when I'm feeling really drawn close to the Lord, when I feel like I'm drawing near to God, it says in Hebrews, I never quite get there. There's always this longing in me that, yeah, I want to know the Lord, but I'm not quite where I want to be. I want more. And I think all of those are reflections of why we have hope. Paul said that he talked about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, that means our hope is fulfilled then, when we stand before the Lord, when we're in His presence. And unless we lament all the things that are wrong now, there's no weight, there's no depth to our hope for the future. And cheap hope results in the fact that that hope gets overshadowed by the troubles in my life. And it gets overshadowed by the good things in my life. Hope is just kind of this weightless, light, generic idea out there. But when I'm going through a real hard time, boy, that gets my attention a lot more than my hope does. Or when things are going really well, that gets my attention a lot more than hope does. So this morning, instead of moving immediately, as we often do, which is not a bad thing, but we often move immediately to the hope. We move immediately to the good news. This morning, as we get ready to go into the week culminating with Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, when our hope just explodes, I think we're going to appreciate Resurrection Sunday a lot more if we spend some time in lament, if we spend some time seeing life just doesn't work the way I want it to, even the way I think God wants it to, and I lament that. So I think as we come to communion and we think about the things that are wrong in the world, the things that are wrong in my life, the things that are wrong even in my relationship with the Lord, because I can't know Him as well as I want to until I get to heaven, when that hope is fulfilled, that my hope is not now, my hope is with His presence. Our communion is for believers. So if your hope is in the Lord, whether you're a longtime part of Wheatfield or this is your first time, if your hope is in the Lord, then join us in communion. And I'm going to ask you also to share communion together in the triads that you prayed in, maybe even combine a couple of the triads, the groups, because I think it's important that we share our lament as well, because seeing your lament, it's going to build depth into my hope. As we share our laments, as we see that it's not just me, it's not just that the world is messed up for me and that I have to have that hope. It's that that affects all of us. So I want to encourage you. I'm going to pray, and Mark, oh, you're here. Mark's going to play one song that I want us to sing together, and then that's all the music. I think the silence will help us have more of a sense of lament, because that's very out of the ordinary. We're not used to silence. I think sometimes we use noise as a distraction, so we don't have to lament. We don't have to think too deeply. Pray with me. Almighty God, we thank you for our hope, but show us the lament that gives depth to our hope. Father, we lament what we have done to you, that we have turned our backs on you, that we have rebelled against you, that we have ignored you, that we have dismissed you, that we have taken you lightly. Lord, show us what it means to lament that. Jesus, we lament what we have done to you. We lament and we grieve over our sin that put you on the cross, Lord. We thank you for what you did, but we recognize and we lament over the things in our lives that caused that, that made that necessary. Holy Spirit, we lament our resistance of you, our quenching of you, the way we ignore you, the way we grieve you. Lord, make our lament deep so that our hope will be deep. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be your kingdom now and forever. Amen.